You're listening to Modern Mystic Soul, a podcast dedicated to helping starseeds like you go from awakened to activated. My name is Therese Tucker. I'm an intuitive artist, psychic medium, teacher of intuition, and author of Confidence is Magic. And I'm sitting down to talk with you about the ascension process, the spiritual growth lessons I've learned, and how to move into a more aligned frequency so you can fully experience your destiny. In this episode, I'm talking to you about what happens when we stand in our power and what steps we can take to maintain that stance when the game advances to more challenging levels. A quick note, you can find my video, How to Identify Trauma with Palmistry, on my Blythe Starlight YouTube channel. Look for Blythe Starlight on YouTube and be sure to subscribe so that you see all new videos I will be posting there. Today is May 29th, 2020, for those who are listening in the future. And I have posted to my Instagram account, @BlytheStarlightBrand, today, to stand in your power is level one. Staying in your power is the next level. #KnowTheGame. What I'm referring to here is the understanding of self-sovereignty and the real game of life. If you have been awakened, and I know that you are, because otherwise you would not be interested in listening to this podcast, here's what you need to know. You have left the little game board and have now advanced to the big game board. In Carla Ruckert's book, Living the Law of One, she helps to explain this two game board theory. By the way, Carla was the channeler for the Ra group and the Law of One material. So she wrote a companion book to help understand it because the Law of One material is very dense. And in this book, she describes the main differences between these two games. So on the lower game board, the one that we're most familiar with, the goals are, they're about getting by, amassing resources, taking care of our family. So it's kind of the thing that you think life is about initially, is just the day-to-day, how do I get a better job? How do I advance? How do I, you know, get my dream home? That kind of thing. Whereas on the higher game board, it's all about becoming an ethically motivated human being. Ethically motivated. So we learn that the goal of the third density, which is the density that we've left, the one where we think that we're all separate, and then with maturity and realization, we come to realize that we are connected. The goal of third density, that is my team again, the goal of third density is to make a choice to polarize, either to positive, which is the service to others polarity, or to the negative, service to self polarity. And in the principles of the Law of One are based on moving in a positively polarized direction, hence the Law of One, because the Law of One simply states that we are all one. We are all connected. We're one being. So we are moving in the polarized positive direction of service to others because we recognize that others are us, and we're moving towards a unity consciousness. That's the goal. The Law of One teaches us that the more that we honor, love, and serve other beings, and by beings I mean all forms of life, the less distorted our understanding of the true nature of Source. So the more that we love, honor, respect, and serve other beings, the less distorted our understanding of Source, God, the universe becomes. By the way, to learn more about polarity, you can check out a video I made called Polarity 101 on my Blythe Starlight YouTube channel. So when we leave the lower game board, among the symptoms, if you will, of awakening, and there's a lot of symptoms, is leaving the lower game board, which is awesome. Things like social and economic advancement no longer hold as much interest to you as how to truly understand and connect with humanity. Your empathic ability increases, so you're going to feel others' joy and others' pain, as well as a range of other people's emotions. You can easily recognize someone who is hurting, or in need of healing, or in need of your kindness in any given moment. Also, knowing what actions to take can help become infinitely easier the more awakened you are. So the more awakened, the easier it is to kind of feel into what should I do here next. As you become aware of just how important connection is to others, you also become more highly attuned to yourself and where you are in or out of balance. A desire to truly take care of yourself kicks in. The idea of actually healing yourself no longer seems frivolous, or selfish. There, that was a combination of frivolous and selfish. Frivolous. But rather, that the desire to truly heal yourself becomes essential in your ability to truly serve others. So when we recognize we are all one, everyone is us, and we are them. And so we start to not only recognize the needs of others, but we get more in touch with our own real needs, because we realize that taking care of ourselves is a service to others. It has a reciprocal effect, and we understand that. This is when we learn to stand in our personal sovereignty and claim our importance. And this is not out of arrogance, but out of a true understanding of how essential each part is to the whole of life. Each part is, because life, source, God, universe, all of those words are interchangeable with one another. When we understand that each part of life is essential, then we begin to recognize that that makes us a sovereign being. Do you hear that? Ka-ping! All right, so up next, I'm going to talk to you about level one, which is standing in your power. So stay tuned. Welcome back. So let's talk about level one, standing in your power. To stand in your own power is to claim your personal authority over your own life. It means you take ownership of being the creator of your reality. And as you stake that claim, then you take on full responsibility for all that you have experienced in the past, the present, as well as your future. This means you must learn what your responsibilities truly are. My team is like all over this session. Let's talk about that again. We must learn what our responsibilities truly are. These are how you feel, what you say, what you do, how you choose to either react or respond, how you choose to treat others, what your perspective is, what you're creating, the stories you're telling yourself, the meaning you are ascribing to different events and experiences, whether or not you choose to learn a lesson or repeat it, self-control, self-acceptance, self-esteem, self-mastery, and of course, what direction you send your energy in, positive or negative. When we stand in our power, we fully embrace our responsibilities and no longer expect others to change to meet our needs. We meet our needs. As we take a stand in self-sovereignty, we finally start creating life as we wish to experience it, rather than waiting for the stars to align for us to have the life we dream of. We recognize that the frequency always comes before the manifestation. So we spend plenty of time practicing and attuning to our desired frequency. This is when synchronicities start to happen in our lives on a regular basis. Life seems more colorful and magical than before. A good life is no longer a question of if, but when. Standing in our power can bring us a natural feeling of being bright and an unstoppable force. We finally feel in our bones what it means to be created in God's image. We are divine creators with infinite potential. So, if standing in our power can feel so good, then why do events and experiences happen that clearly we did not wish to create? Well, I'm going to talk about that up next, so stay tuned. Do you want to join the next Spirit Circle? Spirit Circles are virtual gatherings I hold every new moon and full moon, where I'll take you deep into the cosmic codes to receive the messages on how to work in alignment with source energy. The first 60 minutes include energy attunements, journaling, masterminds, guided visualizations, and more. Each Spirit Circle includes a 30-minute psychic Q&A session with me to get answers from your guides and spirit team. Every session is recorded, and it's yours to keep to use again and again. If you want to join me for the upcoming Spirit Circle, please go to blithestarlight.com/spirit-circles. I hope to see you there. Hey, welcome back. I want to take a second to read you a little snippet from my own book, Confidence is Magic, which you can find on Amazon Kindle. And even though my book is about self-confidence, self-confidence leads to self-sovereignty. They really do go hand in hand. And since we were just talking about what it feels like to stand in our power, and the question comes up, why, if I'm standing in my power, do I have to experience things that I clearly do not wish to experience? So let me break this down for you here. To create self-confidence, you must recognize your limitations and get to know your shadow self, where the hidden aspects of you live, including your fears, shame, guilt, remorse, and grief, to name a few. When these parts of the personality go unrecognized and stay in a state of rejection, they fester and become self-doubt and ultimately self-sabotage. Instead, you want to be able to integrate them into what you accept about yourself. Use all these factors to develop a personality that will be enriching and fulfilling for you and for all the other people's lives in which you have an impact. Okay, so what I'm talking about here is the fact that, in order to stand in our power, we don't actually have to do this work that I just talked about incorporating all aspects of ourself. We can actually stand in our power when we need to, in the moment, to take a stance for something. But when we begin to do this regularly and we need to stay there, then we have to we will experience manifestation at a faster rate. That means whatever it is, as we claim the space of the creator, we claim and take responsibility for everything that we create. And that means all the unconscious activity that we're creating as well. Because remember, the external world, and I know that this one can break the brain as we try to grok it, and it's mind-bending until you understand how it works. But the external world is a mirror of the internal world. The external world is based on how we perceive it. So we see an event happen outside of us, and we immediately have a perception, an angle that we're looking at, a story we're telling about this event. And it's the story that we tell that becomes our experience. Our stories become our perception of our reality. Therefore, when we have unrecognized or rejected parts of ourselves that we're not giving conscious awareness to, these pieces don't go anywhere. They become part of the story. So what we reject about ourselves, we reject about the outside world. Now, as you're standing here in your power, claiming your ability to manifest, all things that need to be rebalanced or healed will come to you. They will come out. This is one of those things about healing that a lot of people don't realize, that, you know, there's this belief that healing is this easy, soothing experience, but that it's going to be like that the awakening to self is going to be some kind of gentle, meditative, light experience where you're surrounded by angelic beings and light, and it's just, it gets better and better. And that is true. That is a part of it, but that's not all of it. What that does when you create that, those openings to higher frequency, when you create the higher frequency of standing in your power, you call to you all the pieces of you that have yet to be healed. And the reality is, it looks more like a tower moment. So in the tarot, the tower, you see lightning striking the tower and people falling out of it, falling out of this tower. The tower moment is a critical moment in, it is the awakening moment, but what happens is that everything that is not true or accurate or clear perception about yourself or reality will be shaken loose so that you can then start to bring these parts together. So when we start to stand in our power, when we start to own our reality and what it is we are deciding to make, we must then heal all parts of ourselves that have not been addressed and not been reconciled, have not been integrated. They come, these parts come forward. And if we're not aware that it's happening within, what it looks like is the outside world bringing stuff to us. But remember, the outside world are you know, experiences and events that are happening that we are coloring with what we project onto it. So the unhealed parts of ourself get projected onto these events. And that's how we perceive and read these events. That's why big events that happen in the world can be taken in so many different ways. It's, and you know, if you're not aware of that, that it's your perception that is coloring what you see, it might baffle you. Like, how can you not see what I'm seeing? Well, you know, if other people aren't sharing your perspective, it's a good chance that that's not the area that they need healing with, or that's, that part of their psyche is not coloring their experience. And it makes it very difficult when we're not aware that this will and must happen. This is the balancing of our system, right? We're these beautiful divine beings with, and we're layered and complicated. And that which needs to be healed must be healed to move up in frequency. Anything that's left unintegrated, unhealed, you can kind of think about it like a weight on your body. And ascension is about lifting, you know, getting these weights lifted by incorporating them in. So you can only move up in frequency as far as you're being weighed down. Does that make sense? I'm trying to think, like, I'm, what I see, right, is I see this being in my mind's eye. I see this beautiful person that could float all the way to the top of space if they wanted to. But around their ankles and wrists, there are these weights dragging them down in frequency. And so if you could kind of see each frequency as a color moving up the rainbow, we can only move up each color to the degree that we have healed or released the weights, released that. So, and how do we release, right? How do we heal? We heal through being willing to look at ourselves, being willing to look at the parts of ourselves that we definitely try to hide, right? Whatever you're afraid to show someone, whatever you're ashamed of showing someone, whatever you feel guilt about showing to someone, wherever you're in despair, these are the places. These are like the super rich places to look, because there's a lot of detail there. There's a lot of information. In fact, up next, what I would like to do is go over with you the idea of pure emotions versus compound emotions, because compound emotions can really stay with us for a while. And if we don't recognize what those are, then we can't heal the individual aspects. And so we sort of stay stuck. So up next, I'm going to be talking about complex negative emotions that we can start looking at. These are the areas that we want to start looking that would be considered, you know, the in the shadow of ourself. What we want to do is we want to look at it, see if we can sort of identify the pieces of each of these compound emotions, and then move towards integrating them. Because as we do, as we learn how to integrate all aspects of ourself, we get to stay in our power, which is level 2. So stick around. I'll be right back. Hey, welcome back. Our emotions work like a beautiful GPS system. They help us know if we are in a frequency alignment with the direction we are desiring to go in. Meaning, when we set an intention to create our life, we send out a signal. The intention is the signal, and the emotions act as a GPS tracking system in a way to see how in alignment we are with our own signals we send out. So when we're feeling higher frequency emotions like appreciation, love, joy, hope, anticipation, all of these beautiful high frequency emotions, it means that we're in an alignment, in a match to the signal, the intention we already set for our life. When we're feeling lower emotions, negativity, fear, anger, despair, these type of lower emotions, we know that we are not a frequency match to the intention we have already set out for ourselves. So our emotional guidance system really does help us know if we are standing in our creation as we intended to, or if we're off track. So let's talk about emotions a little deeper, because earlier I had mentioned that we need to do integration work. We need to incorporate the parts of ourselves that are unrecognized or even rejected. We need to learn how to see them and incorporate them in order to stay in our power, which is level 2 of understanding power, is staying in the power. So there are actually different varieties of emotions. So we're going to talk first about primary emotions. Primary emotions are the body's first response, and they are usually very easy to identify because they're very strong. The most common primary emotions are fear, joy, sadness, hope, disgust, and anger. Now, there are more primary emotions. There are more variations of it, but these are pretty much the primal response. In fact, do you remember the movie Inside Out? Let's see if I can remember the characters that were in there. So we had joy, sadness, fear, anger, and disgust. Yep, we had all, they showed it to us. They showed it to us, all 5 of them. These are the primary emotions, and they would be considered like clean emotions. They come from, they have like a pure intent point, and they come up quickly and spontaneously and can completely wash over us. They're very vibrant and big emotions, and just as fast they can disappear and easily dissipate. So they're like a more pure emotional state, primary emotions. Then as we develop and grow, we experience more complex emotions. These are called compound emotions. These emotions are combinations of emotions that can sometimes have contradictory root causes in our emotional body. This is where the bodies get buried in your shadow self, if you will. As soon as we start experiencing these compound emotions that have contradictory root causes, what does that do to the logical mind? Right? The logical mind wants to categorize things, put them in a box. This is happy, this is sad, da da da. What happens when you have happy sad? Right? What happens to that experience? It gets harder to categorize, and because we can't move through it as quickly, it's an emotion that can stay in the body longer. So when we can't easily move in and out of that emotional state, when it's providing contradictory feedback. Think about that as your emotional GPS system, right, is getting contradictory feedback. I'm happy and fearful at the same time. We'll talk about what that one is. How do you know where you are on the scale then? Are you in alignment or out of alignment? If you can't assess this and move through it or make a choice from it, if you're feeling good or bad about something at the same time, then you're not sure if you're on the path or off. And that means that there's a good chance that that could get shut down, right? Like, I can't deal with this. This isn't, I'm cutting this out. I am detaching from this. I'm compartmentalizing it. That's what happens. And that when we compartmentalize parts of ourselves or our experience, they go into the shadow. So the shadow really is all aspects of ourself that are not yet incorporated. The shadow self, a lot of people identify it with their negative traits, like jealousy or selfishness, anger, things like that, right? Though that's highly thought of as shadow self. But what I've learned is that the shadow self also is the unmanifested parts of ourself. I talk about that in my book, In Confidence is Magic. I talk about the other parts that are hanging out in the shadow, the parts of you you haven't activated yet because you haven't owned them. For example, power is a aspect of self that can hang out in our shadow for a long time. A lot of people don't own their power. When you don't activate it, when you don't own it, it doesn't go away. You never lost it. It's like a program that's not running. It's offline, and therefore it's in the shadow aspect of self. So power can be hanging out in our shadow. Courage can be hanging out in our shadow. Extroversion, like being extrovert, or sociability can be hanging out in our shadow, especially if we keep claiming where I'm this way, right? I'm an introvert. I don't like to socialize. Well, every time we do that, we're shutting down that part of ourselves, and it goes into the shadow. Right? So there's a lot of pieces of ourself, good and bad, or neutral even, that are just hanging out in this untapped place that we could call the shadow self. So when we have to compartmentalize an experience or a feeling because we don't know what it's telling us, it goes in this kind of gray shadow area where it is not necessarily resolved. And depending on the intensity of that emotion, it can stay there for, you know, anywhere from a few hours to years, unresolved. So let's look at some compound emotions. Here are a few of the compound emotions and their root causes. Guilt. This one I think everybody experiences. This is an interesting one. Guilt is a root cause of, it's a combination of joy and fear. Joy and fear. So I want you to think about that. A great example someone once said was that the example of being a working mom, bringing joy and fear. I love what I do, and I feel guilty that I love that just as much as I love my kids. Guilt, right? Think about something in your life. Take a moment to think about what guilt looks like. When you think about what makes you feel guilty, there's an aspect of it of, I truly enjoy this, and at the same time, I feel like I shouldn't. I feel like that's wrong. That's guilt right there. Let's look at despair, another compound emotion. Despair is a combination of fear and sadness. So the fear of maybe sadness being prolonged, but that's a pretty overwhelming and deep and heavy emotion. It's like a, right, despair feels weighted and heavy. Shame. Shame is another one. Shame is something that hangs out in everybody's shadow self. And remember, these are the places where, because these emotions are there and because they're so triggering, we don't want to look. We would never want anyone to see what we feel ashamed of. Shame is a combination of fear and disgust. So not only, so it is a behavior or an experience that repels us, and we're also afraid of anyone ever seeing this aspect of ourselves. Here's another one, anxiety. Anxiety is another one where the root causes are contradictory. Anxiety is a combination of both hope and fear. Can you see how, if you're experiencing anxiety, if you're someone who does experience anxiety regularly, it's kind of like it watching a compass needle spinning. Which way do I go? You know, if I move towards the future, I feel both hope and fearful towards it. Many people feel that. And that, I think, is a contradictory compound emotion that we're constantly being programmed with. I think it's constantly being played on us. And for anyone who hasn't learned to stand in their power and claim their reality, that will be the card that gets played on them the most, is this feeling of you have to want it, but you also have to be afraid of it, of future, right? Gratitude. Now, this one was an interesting one because, you know, gratitude is an emotion. It's a positive emotion. It's higher up on the scale. We're going in the right direction when we feel gratitude, but it is a compound emotion. It's not quite as clean as you think it might be. So gratitude is a combination of both appreciation and obligation. Isn't that one interesting? Appreciation and obligation. So with gratitude comes this feeling of, and not all the time, it's a varying degree, right? So nothing's black or white, but with gratitude can come a feeling of, thank you for giving this to me because I didn't know how to get this for myself, or I wasn't sure if I deserved that, or, you know, I was in need, right? So there's this sense of lack, actually, inside gratitude, where the higher form is pure appreciation. Pure appreciation. So not only are you thankful, but you're in a higher state of appreciating, meaning that you already accept it as being a part of your reality. So again, not saying gratitude's a bad thing. It's a better emotion to reach for. It's a higher emotion. It's just that it is not a pure emotional state, which I thought was really interesting. You have to dig in there. You have to dig into, when you say, I'm grateful for this, is there anything behind that that creates a secondary emotion? When obligation kicks in, do you feel guilty? Do you feel lack? Do you feel less than? Do you feel smaller or just a tinge unworthy? So look into that. I noticed that when I looked into it, I'm like, yeah, I can see that some places where I'm like, thank you for granting me this because I am such a mess, right? Like I can sometimes hear that when I do gratitude. I can hear it a little. And then I want to talk about stress. Now, stress is a really interesting one. And of course, we are inundated with stress. I mean, stress is a part of life. It's so much a part of life that the earth has developed herbs, right? We've got adaptogenic herbs to help us to adapt to stress because stress ain't going anywhere. And, you know, there is such a thing as some good stress. Some stress creates growth, where too much stress can break the system. So with stress, it's really interesting because it's a combination of anxiety, which already is a compound of hope and fear, plus it's strength plus force. Strength plus force. So it's like stress allows you to know your strength, but then it's also a force pushing against you, a type of resistance on you, plus anxiety. This is the life that we're living day to day. I mean, stress is a reality. I remember I went to my doctor years ago. She was a combination naturopath plus GP. And she said to me, my job is to help people deal with stress. It's not to She looked at her career in a totally different light because she could see that the impetus to all illness was stress. And so her whole first approach was, let's deal with stress, let's look at stress, and let's take actions daily to deal with stress. So it's really interesting. We need to acknowledge that part of being able to stay in power, in a place of personal power, is understanding the compound emotions that are probably and most likely in the body now, and being able to understand that some emotions are so complex, you need to break them down into pieces to deal with them. So when you come across a part of yourself, and either an experience you haven't yet worked through, the most important thing is to ask yourself, how do I feel? Because as soon as you can identify what it is you feel, if you got a word like anxiety, now you know anxiety isn't just a blanket feeling, it's a combination of both hope and fear. And from there, you can see, what am I more invested in, my hope or my fear? And from there, see, every step, it's like every question digs a little deeper down into the answer. So when we can understand that our emotions, that there are some emotions that are way more complex, we can start to move through this. And again, this is not something that you do in one day. This is for some of us, it's a lifetime quest. And every day brings a new discovery. But every time you dig in there and you get an idea about what it is that's blocking you, and you can identify just a little bit more, then you make headway into standing into your power. And when you recognize that holding guilt over something like being a working mom, that you enjoy your kids and you enjoy your work, that those are two things that you can be truly proud of, then you can let go of the fear around what that means. It means that you have a lot to give, is what it really means. All right, stay tuned. Up next, we're going to talk about ways that we can move into staying in our power. I'll be right back. Before I give you those tips on how to stay in your power, I want to read a little bit to you from Stephen Pressfield's book, The War of Art. This was given to me, a copy of this was given to me years ago. And it's one of those books that, even though it's technically talking about working through creativity and getting in touch with your own creative genius, I feel like the message in it goes so much deeper and can be applied to so many areas of life. So I'm reading from the chapter called Resistance and Healing. Stephen says, "What are we trying to heal anyway? The athlete knows the day will never come when he wakes up pain-free. He has to play hurt. Remember, the part of us that we imagine needing healing is not the part that we create from. That part is far deeper and stronger. The part we create from can't be touched by anything our parents did or society did. That part is unsullied, uncorrupted, soundproof, waterproof, and bulletproof. In fact, the more troubles we've got, the better and richer that part becomes. The part that needs healing is our personal life. Personal life has nothing to do with the work. Besides, what better way of healing than to find our center of self-sovereignty? Isn't that the whole point of healing? Don't get me wrong. I've got nothing against true healing. We all need it. But it has nothing to do with doing our work, and it can be a colossal exercise in resistance. Resistance loves, quote unquote, healing. Resistance knows that the more psychic energy we spend dredging and redredging the tired, boring injustices of our personal lives, the less juice we have to do our work. Bam! I love this book. These chapters are short, but so powerful. So here's the irony here is I'm talking about the fact that we need to face these parts of ourselves and incorporate them. And the resistance that can come up is the fact that we believe that to do that, they have to be fully healed. Like we go through this process of I have to spend all this time and energy and be over it, right? The idea of healing, I think the way he's talking about it makes me feel like he's saying we have to get over it or I have to be done with it. I can't have that feeling anymore. And that has not been my experience. I feel like healing or really moving through anything is layered like an onion, right? So you get through one layer and you feel okay with it, but boom, there's a deeper layer that you then, the pain comes back and you're working with it from a new angle and you go deeper in, incorporate that part, and then boom, there's another layer, right? Until we get to the core of it and we're with it completely. What he says at the beginning there, that the athlete never wakes up one day pain-free and then he plays. The athlete knows he's going to be in pain and still has to play. That's kind of the essence of life. If you're waiting for things to be perfect or done or finished, you're going to be waiting till you die because it's not going to happen. The idea here is to kind of move into a place of acceptance and learn how to work with it rather than against it. So resistance loves quote unquote healing because the idea of healing is that somehow it's finished, right? And what resistance tells us when we're resisting doing our work or taking responsibility for how we are seeing life, some part of us is saying, well, when I figure this out, when it's all done, then I can have mastery or then I can stand in my power or then it'll be resolved. And so all that does is it keeps your personal resistance active, meaning you're not doing the work, you're not taking responsibility, you're not digging in, you're not committing to your own vibrational choices because, you know, that it's not resolved yet. And because it's not resolved, you don't have to do the work. And so this book, what I love about it is it calls bullshit on that. It might never be resolved. That's the first step of acceptance, is I might never be free of this. From there, if you accepted that as a reality, what new choice would you make? And in this case, he's saying that you would choose to do the work anyway. You would choose to go after what you desire anyway. If this is reality, if this is what it is, if these are the tools you're working with, can you let go of some ideal or perfect scenario in which everything is resolved or perfect or easy? And can you understand that you've got to work with what's in front of you? You've got to realize that if you're asking for a specific outcome or a certain level of reality, for example, I'm always talking about for myself with the future, especially right now and all the uncertainty in the world, I am focusing on a higher timeline where the outcome is infinitely better. Right now, we don't have a lot of proof of that in this current time period that I'm recording this. Not a lot of proof of that. There's some proof, but I will only get proof based on my commitment to that frequency. You understand? So the more that I keep my own frequency raised and aligned and I take actions based on what outcome I want, the more I will see a match in the external world. There's my team again, more evidence and more proof that my reality is the reality that I'm creating and that I desire has legs and it will happen based on how I am accepting this moment and saying, what can I do that's in alignment with what I want to see? So up next, I'm going to take you through those steps. And I'm really hoping this helps you find that place where not only have you identified what it is you want and claimed that stake of power, but that you can also stay there. Be right back. Welcome to level two, how to stay in your power. So I want to share with you seven little tips that I've identified to help us stay anchored in our power. Once we've taken the stand, how do we stay there? I'm sure that there is more to this than what I have identified, but this is a really good start point, and it helps you return to staying in your power again and again. So step number one, you need to know what you have identified as your desired set point. What is your intention? What are you trying to stand in power around? So for the sake of this exercise, I'm going to say my desired future outcome. The 5D ascension timeline is what I'm going to use as my personal example. So questions you can ask yourself is, how do you want to live life? How do you want life to be? Okay, these are your desired set points. That's the frequency you're sending out. It's like a little rocket ship you've sent out. Once you identified your desired set point, you need to commit to it. So step two, commitment. Commitment is not a future event. It's a present moment activity. All right. It's not one and done. It's constant. Commitment is it's an activity. It is your personal responsibility to stay committed to your chosen set point. We can go in and out of alignment with our desired set point all day long. That's normal. And things are going to approach you that take you in and out of your desired frequency. The commitment is about returning to your desired alignment as many times as you can catch it. So that commitment and returning to your desired set point is staying in the power, right? Step three, understand that what you resist persists. When external events show you a set point that you are not desiring, it's important to ask yourself, what story am I telling myself about this event? Take responsibility of doing the deep digging to find out what you are projecting onto the external world. Get the answers of what that means to you at the moment. So when my desired set point is a higher level of human experience, the 5D ascension timeline where love is the dominant action and we see it everywhere, that's my desired set point. If I see an experience outside of me that's showing me something that's not love, I need to ask myself, what am I projecting onto that? What am I saying is happening here? And then from there, I get information. If I'm perceiving someone else behaving in an unsavory way, and I'm rejecting that, I'm resisting that, why? What about what I'm seeing upsets me? What about my perception of this person infuriates me? Do I accept that about myself? Can I find instances where I have behaved in a like manner? Have I ever accepted that? Have I ever healed that? Have I ever forgiven that? Right? So when we do that deep digging work, we get answers. We start understanding what's happening inside of us that's causing us to feel out of alignment with our own desired frequency. Step four, take time to identify the feelings. So when I feel something coming up about what I'm telling myself, are these primal feelings that are coming up? So, you know, basically pure feeling state that's instinctual and responsive. Or are they compound emotions? Remember, multiple feelings coming up at the same time that sometimes can have contradictory root causes. So when I can identify the feelings, I can identify what kind of feelings I'm having. Then I need to find out if I can determine the root source of these emotions. So if I was feeling guilt about something, we know that guilt is a combination of joy and fear. So what about this is bringing up guilt, and what's the joy in it? That's one question. Where's their joy in this, and where's their fear? Step five, ask yourself, What would it take for me to accept and forgive this situation? Very important step to stay in your power. What would it take for me to accept and forgive this situation? And all you need to do is tune in your heart to get the answer. So you'd put your hand on your heart, take a moment to breathe into that space and listen. Whatever the heart guides you to do, follow that guidance. 6. Imagine enfolding this aspect you find in yourself. So if I found guilt, let's say it was guilt about being a stay-at-home mom and working. There's the guilt. I would identify where the joy is and where the guilt or the fear rather is. And I would enfold each of those pieces that I find. Fully embrace the joy, fully understand the fear. The joy being I love both things so much, both my children and my work. Embrace. The fear is of being judged for loving one more than the other, or because the other exists, I shouldn't love it. Whatever the fear story is, embrace that too. What I imagine actually is I imagine meeting this aspect of myself and I hug it. I hug it. I imagine my arms enfolding this piece. And as I'm holding it and hugging it with true acceptance and appreciation, I watch that piece of me absorb into the greater being. So the one doing the hugging is absorbing all aspects. Notice I'm not trying to dissolve or explode or kick out of into outer space. None of that. In fact, I'm pulling it closer in. Even the fear, even the anger, even the lower emotions, pulling it in. That's integration. And what I know about this integration is that this higher being loves and appreciates everything it finds because all of those pieces make it the higher being. It is the higher self. It is the higher aspect of me because of all these pieces. They are the foundational building blocks of my frequency. So I don't need to reject any part of myself. And as I learn to incorporate all aspects of me, I learn how to do that for the outside world as well. I stop judging it and saying this is right or wrong, this is bad or good. I stop polarizing and I start understanding that every piece is important. Every single piece is teaching me something, is a building block for a higher frequency, for a better world, for deeper knowledge and understanding. See, that is what Source is doing all the time. We have to, the higher recognition here is, why is it allowed to exist at all? Why would Source create it at all if there was such a thing as bad or anti-Source? And what we can know is that there is no anti-Source. It's all Source. So if we sit with that, we think, why would this greater being, this higher version of ourselves, create everything? That's because one aspect informs another and gives greater understanding to the whole creation. And finally, step 7 is remember that no matter what, whether you are able to successfully do this or not, whether you are willing to commit to it whether or not, you're willing to move out of resistance and into acceptance. No matter what, you are a unique facet of Source. And you are loved beyond measure. You're already accepted, appreciated, forgiven, and fully incorporated. Final thoughts. Remember. Frequency always is the start point before manifestation. Frequency first, then manifestation. It really helps you understand the axiom, be the change that you want to see. So we must maintain that state of being before we see it. We have to be it, and then we'll see it. Thank you for joining me. You can now find Blythe Starlight on Patreon, where you can join me on the journey of creating more tools for helping people go from awakened in their intuition to activated. Be sure to visit me at blythestarlight.com and subscribe. That way you'll never miss an episode of the Modern Mystic Soul podcast, which can also be found on Spotify, iTunes, and all your favorite podcast platforms. You can also find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest as Blythe Starlight. And don't forget to grab your copy of my book, Confidence is Magic, on Amazon today. Until next time, stay magical.